We're going to get started. Bill Hall, who's a county commissioner and a fair board member, is going to give an introduction, and then I'm going to provide you with a little bit of information. And we'd like a lot of interaction, comments, questions from the audience. I would note this particular presentation tonight we are filming, so we can put it on our website and have it available for other folks to look at. So the only thing we're going to do slightly differently than the other presentations we've done is I'm going to try and give the whole presentation without taking any questions. And then when I'm done, so hold your questions and then we'll answer those questions. But we want to make sure we get that part of it on tape. Okay? Bill?
All right. Very briefly, to try and put this in context, how we got here, it was back in 2009 that the Board of Commissioners appointed the Blue Ribbon Committee, which was chaired by Frank Geltner, about a dozen folks from all parts of Lincoln County, and we thought a pretty good representation of various interests, to give us some comprehensive recommendations on the future of both the fairgrounds and the fair event. And based on public meetings they held and the input that was gathered, some of the key recommendations were to continue with the fair event, to continue with the current site, but to look at a plan for redeveloping the site. And the centerpiece of that plan was a new multi-purpose building to replace the existing exhibit hall. And they recommended, another thing that we followed through with was a recommendation that we engage a consulting firm or firms to really go through a master planning process, not only looking at the feasibility of the best. Nothing is set in stone yet. We want public input now. We've wanted it at every phase of the process, and we're trying to come up with a plan. We already know from the feedback we've had in this current round, we're not going to be able to satisfy everybody's vision, but we hope we're going to come to enough of a common agreement that we can bring a plan to the people that a majority of people will support. So I think with that, I'm going to turn it over to Wayne.
So again, for those of you that just came in, I'm going to do this presentation first and not take any questions or comments. And then when we're done, we'll have ample opportunity for you to provide some input to us. So I'm going to start off. Casey, do you want to turn down a couple of the lights?
I got it.
So we can get this on here. Is that okay?
That's good.
Good. Okay. So the first thing I want to talk about here is the fact that the master plan, the consultants we've engaged here, is really looking at all facets of usage of the county property. So we're not just talking about this concept of a multi-purpose building, but all the property and how it might develop. The focus originally of the Blue Ribbon Committee, as Commissioner Hall indicated, said we want to look at this multi-purpose facility, and that's the actual market and feasibility study we're going to be discussing tonight is on that. But there are other elements of the property and the plan that will be developed. I want to make sure that folks know that the consultants looked at the condition and usability of all the buildings that currently exist on the property. The results of their analysis is online, and actually we've got a great deal of information here that you can see if you want to look at in detail what we've actually developed so far. You can get that information from coming in here to the county courthouse. Go to room 110. We've got copies of the plan available. But it's also available for you to review at your leisure, and it's quite a lengthy document. There are several documents involved. By going to the Lincoln County Fair website, you can Google Lincoln County, Oregon, click on what's new and latest news. It's on the front page you get when you get to Lincoln County, Oregon. And then you can click to the Lincoln County Fair in departments and find all these various documents here. So that includes, again, the condition and usability of the other buildings on the site that the consultants looked at in 2014. Ultimately, the county is going to have to look and examine other amenities, buildings, and uses on the property to complete this master plan. Obviously, that's what we're going to ultimately do. We're going to have to look at the possibility of additional acquisition of property in that location. We have, in fact, the smallest fairgrounds in terms of size in the state of Oregon, other than Multnomah County, which really doesn't have a fairgrounds anymore and moves around to different locations. But ours is a fairly small one. We're going to look at some other options, including, and I'll just list these off, the arena redevelopment. Do we need to move the arena or redevelop the arena? We've discussed the possibility out here of putting an emergency communication center. This is a fairly large, centrally located piece of property within Lincoln County that in an emergency, especially if we had a large multipurpose building, might be the center of any of our emergency response and recovery efforts. So we're looking at the possibility of additional state and federal funding to combine with what we're doing for redevelopment out here to possibly put in an emergency communication center. The Lincoln County Animal Shelter has been located on this site, Jason, it's actually right over here, since the 1960s. And that particular facility is being examined right now for either relocation, redevelopment, remodeling, whatever it might be. So that's one of the issues we're going to have to look at for this site. We currently have one major building, the Floral Building, what we call the Floral Building, located here, which was recently rebuilt and currently is used by the Friends of Lincoln County Animals. And so it's a long-term tenant that provides some income for operations on the ground. But is that what we want to continue in the future? Do we want to have this or other anchor tenants out here that provide some revenue to operate the facilities out there? Or should these buildings all be available for the community for various uses and events and activities? And then we want to look at, of course, other buildings like the Harney Street Building and some others here to see whether or not they are viable in their current state or should be redeveloped or removed. And then what other things do we want to place on the property? So that's the overall master plan. But again, the focus of this particular study is the feasibility and market analysis prepared by Eco Northwest. And it includes really two key components that they looked at. First was the potential market for a new multi-purpose building. And then the financial feasibility of building and operating such a facility. What's that going to cost us as a community to do that? So, the first thing we want to do, and Commissioner Hall again said this, and we want to make sure it's really clear, nothing is cast in stone. We needed to actually look at a concept, both in terms of physically how it might be located on the property, and size-wise to have something to really, you know, put our arms around and say, what does this mean? So, what we did is we took the recommendation from the Blue Ribbon Committee. They said, let's look at something of about 40,000 square feet. And we came up with a concept that has this particular design right here. And again, this location is not cast in stone, but this is what it might look like, the size here. And the component parts of that particular concept have 36,000 square feet of open space. It's an open design with possibilities for offices, kitchen, and other facilities within that design. It's dividable into three 12,000 square foot smaller spaces. And one of the things we've heard from the various discussions we've had around the county is how do you divide that into smaller spaces? What's the manner in which that might occur? It also includes 13,500 square feet of outdoor spaces. That's this space out here. And this would be partially enclosed, but actually pretty much open out there. And that would be open space for doing a variety of activities, either related to something that's an exhibit that's in the hall in here or independently. Kinds of activities there, and there's a lot of different things we could do with that space. Now, and this is the part that made our jaws drop a little bit, but maybe not when you think about this in the public sector. Based on that concept and that kind of design, and including the amenities, all the parking you see around there, the consultants came in with an estimated capital cost that gave us something to work with, and the estimated capital cost for this kind of facility is $12 million. So you can see that's quite a lot of money to do. Now, they also looked at the market demand for this. They looked at this kind of facility around the state of Oregon and other locations and said that basically, you know, what we have currently, and everybody knows what the exhibition hall looks like that's out there now. It's significantly smaller, much older, and really has limited usefulness for local groups. And it has even less usefulness for regional groups, groups that want to come in and hold any kind of event that attracts outside visitors. And the revenue potential on that current facility is very limited. We're not getting a whole lot of revenue from that. A new multipurpose facility, from a market standpoint, would support increased use and revenue generation. You've got a revamped and expanded fair. They would have a lot of other options for activities at the fair in a facility like this, and it could become the cornerstone of a new event. From a regional or statewide audience, the consultants looked at the types of events that this attracts. And these are the kinds of things like an auto show, a boat show. We've recently did a sportsman's event out there using the current facility, and it was actually very successful and heavily attended, but they could do a lot more if they had a larger facility out there. So these kinds of trade shows, those kinds of things, could use a facility like this, as well as other events that are really more of a regional or statewide location. It also could be an area that in which meetings could be held. And again, groups, larger groups, could use a space like this for meetings, conferences, those kinds of things. So that may be very different than the current events we have, and additions to the current kinds of events we have. But they cater not only really to local residents and the things that we desire, but also would attract outside visitors. So that was kind of the key market components they looked at. Now, when they looked at the future demand out here and how this might pencil out for us, the first thing they had to look at is what are the rates that you charge for this? And this is obviously a conversation that every entity that looks at one of these facilities has. And what is the pricing of these particular things? So the consultants provided us with some forecasts from a high to a low doing that. But one of the key decisions we have to make as a community is, do we charge rates that reflect community use first? Do we say events like the fair, maybe other local events that are established here, get one set of rates and maybe a reduced rate to use the facility so that we encourage locals to actually use this facility once it's built, and then maybe a different rate for those kind of regional or statewide organizations, the trade shows, the larger events that come out. And that's going to impact the amount of revenue you generate as you do that, and making that balance between both the rates and the usage is a key factor to making this thing successful. So what the consultants found, they did their financial feasibility study, and this, I'm going to talk about some figures now related to the building only. There's other costs associated with maintenance and operations of the grounds, but we're only talking about the multipurpose building at this point. And the revenue range that they came up with in estimating a number of events, and they're actually, we're looking at this thing as though it were developed 2 to 3 years down the pike, that it actually had some events, it generated, it's now out there, it's known in the wider community out here as a facility that's available for these kinds of events, and they can actually generate some events occurring here on an annual basis. But the revenue range they came up with was from a low of $135,000 a year to a high of $295,000 a year. Now, the operational side of things, what it's going to cost to operate that, and they looked again at similar size facilities, similar kinds of operations throughout the state. They said that the range from for operating expenses was from a low of $190,000 a year to a high of $380,000 a year. So under their forecast, they look at this thing operating at a deficit. And that, frankly, one of the things that they have said to us, oh, there's been a lot of discussion about that around, you know, the facilities around the state, but they basically said there is not a facility of this type in the state of Oregon, with one exception, that operates at a profit. And that one exception is the Salem Convention Center, sort of a similar facility, but that's annexed to a hotel. And actually it was built with public funds, and then the operation is done by the adjacent hotel. And the hotel, of course, gets the benefit of having conferences and events in which people stay at the lodging and then utilize the facility. But in their examination of this, they don't see other ones that actually can fully pay for themselves. But obviously, the more entrepreneurial you are in the operations of this, the more you can close that deficit and that gap. So what they said the deficit could range in, and again, it could be that we're on the low end of the revenue and the high end of the operation costs, or vice versa, you know. So there's some kind of range in between there. But they said you can be looking at an operational deficit of somewhere between $46,000 to $125,000 a year. That's what the additional money that needs to come up from some resource to make this pay for itself. Now, that's an operational deficit. One of the things that the Board of Commissioners and the Fair Board has indicated with the facility out here, if we build a facility out here, we're going to maintain it. We're going to ensure that that facility, it's a public asset, and that's something I know, especially the Board of Commissioners, in all the county assets that we have out there, has really placed an emphasis on maintaining and keeping that infrastructure in place once it's built. So we had them estimate what are the maintenance costs that might go with the new building over its useful life, which could be up to 30 years. Their estimates, and I think in our discussions in the last few meetings here, this might be on the low side, but they said it's going to cost you somewhere between $12,000 and $36,000 a year to maintain the building. And that means 1 year you're going to put a new roof on, and maybe you don't have to do that for 20 years, obviously. But over the useful life of the building, that's an additional cost that you're going to have to generate resources for to make sure that you cover. As I indicated, that does not. That's just the operational maintenance cost for this building. It does not cover the operational maintenance cost for the remainder of the property that's out there. Now we turn to the capital cost feasibility, the $12 million that they estimated for the cost of the building. We currently have and have collected from room taxes and are dedicated in Lincoln County, so we have a source of income coming in for projects like this. We have a little over $1.2 million in hand right now that could be used for capital costs. With the amount that we generate on an annual basis, we've done some, I'll call them back of the napkin estimates right now, on what we could do to utilize that annual income to do bonding to construct a facility. That's the way public usually does these things. We actually float out municipal financing on this thing, get millions of dollars, and then repay it over a period of years. And we estimated that the current lodging tax receipts that are dedicated to this can bring in somewhere in the neighborhood of $3.9 to $4.3 million. Now, that depends on the time we go out for a measure, what the current interest rates that there are at that time, and a variety of other factors that will impact that. But that leaves us somewhere in the neighborhood of a deficit of still, on the $12 million capital cost, $6.5 to $6.9 million. And so we've been looking at partnering. And one of the partners we discussed this with was the Newport Chamber of Commerce. Obviously, they have a need for a large facility for at least one major signature event that the Newport Chamber does. So we had some discussions with them, but unfortunately, during the course of these discussions here, they've come back and said they do not want to be a long-term partner with us in terms of committing over any period of time to a facility. So we really can't count on any monies coming from the chamber to really reduce that. They will and are interested in the facility in a variety of facets. They may have other events that they would like to schedule to hold there and or talk about some other things that they might do to help us market the facility. But in terms of a direct partner with an annual contribution made to this, it doesn't look like that's going to be something we do with the chamber. However, at the same time, we've been able to discover that the city of Newport is very interested in a multi-purpose building. And they are currently in the works to look at three different options to establish a new urban renewal district for the north part of Newport. They've begun their discussions with their planning commission and moving it up through the ranks. So they have to have a lot of discussions with local governments as they do this. But in that process for doing an urban renewal district, they have to identify projects. What do they want to do with the money that they would raise through their urban renewal financing? And in all three options that they are looking at, and the options vary in both the boundaries of where the district would cover, the kinds of activities or projects they'd spend the money on, and a whole variety of other things. All three of the options include money that they would put aside for a multi-purpose building. And they are proposing to place $3 million towards a project here. So if that money is utilized, that reduces the cost. Unfortunately, as we've learned a little bit with our discussions with Newport, one of the things is if we partner with Newport to do this, we shove this thing off a few more years. It's going to take them a period of time to establish the district in the first place, then to get the kind of financing they need in place in order to gather the money to do this. So we're probably down a few years if we use them as a partner. We recognize that as an issue, and we're going to have further discussions with them. But assuming that City of Newport partnered with us and brought in $3 million, we'd still have a deficit of $3.5 to $3.9 million we'd have to raise for this size facility. Now, I want to make sure you understand that this was, again, a concept we looked at here, and looking at trying to be good stewards of public money here. We need to know what those costs are associated with this. There's nothing that says we can't upsize this if we could generate more revenue, or downsize it to something smaller if we could use the resources we might have available to do something here. So those decisions have not been made yet. We need this kind of base information in order to inform us about how to make those decisions, and we're still doing that. The other issue that we looked at related to this, and I'm sorry I should have been going through these things, but we'll get down to the discussion here, is the idea of how do we operate a facility once we do it? What do we do for operations at this property out here? And again, one of the things that the Fair Board and the Board has been looking at is discussions of maybe we contract operations out. And especially if you have a multi-purpose building, you're really going to need that entrepreneurial aspect to it. You're going to need somebody who's doing the kind of work that's necessary in order to generate the revenue that will offset some of these costs here. And so are there things we can do with the operations there, entrepreneurial incentives, for instance, to do that, to make this work out for us. Other facilities, other counties have done that kind of activity. They've looked at a different structure. And it may be that what we do is that the fair and 4-H become signature events and users of the facilities rather than operators of the entire grounds. But this will allow other options for year-round operation and maintenance of the grounds, and that's something that a number of counties have looked at and gone to, and it's something that we'll consider out here. So we need some local input on this, obviously, a lot of input. And one of the things we're looking at, and we've asked at all the meetings we've had so far, is the need for the multipurpose building. Where does this fit into the needs? What does the community want? Something the Blue Ribbon Committee established and focused on, but we need to reaffirm that that's where we want to go with this. We need to look at the local support. What kind of local support can we generate here? We need to talk about the scale of and the size and the amenities within the building. Do we want something this large? Do we want something larger? Do we want something smaller? We need to talk about the rental structure. What do we do? Do we try and make this so it's affordable for local groups and then generate revenue? There'll be less revenue generated if we do that, but that's something the community wants, and we need to put that into place. We need to look at the various options for paying for the capital costs or whatever project we do, and we've got some other options to look at. Then we need to look at paying for the operational and maintenance costs. And finally, we need to look at the operational structure. So that's the kind of input we're looking at today from you. So I want to just do some quick takeaways from the previous meetings we've had. And again, this is the fourth of four meetings we've met in Toledo, Lincoln City, and Yahats previous to this time. And this is just a quick list of some of the things that have been talked about. We've heard a lot of different visions for what to do in the property. There's no lack of visioning going on here about what to do with the property. What may be lacking at this point is the common vision. What is it that we want to commonly do? We have to synthesize all that, the ideas, the great ideas that have been developed out here, into the actual vision and plan for what we want to do here. And what is that overall common vision? We've heard that we need to consider alternative design and size locations. We had a long discussion in Toledo about this project, even if you went with this size project, where it should be located on the property, how it should be oriented, what should be done to preserve more open space, to provide some wind protection from prevailing winds that are in this area for other uses on the property. Do we need to locate it in a way that provides some access alternatives so it can be used and accessed from, for instance, Harney Street without necessarily having to deal with the rest of the property, which could be protected? And of course, the size and amenities, the alternatives there. What else do we want to include in this particular property? We definitely have heard, and we want to provide, that the master plan provides something for all areas of the county. While the fairgrounds are located in Newport, and obviously some of the solutions here are Newport-centric, this is a county property. One of the things we discuss is the name. Maybe we need to rename this particular area. Maybe this is something that becomes the county commons or the fairgrounds at the county commons. But something that reflects the fact that this is an asset and these are facilities that are available for all people in Lincoln County, and we want to make sure that's part of it. A lot of discussion about entrepreneurial management, about how you might generate revenue, what you need to do to make this happen. We want to know, and we've asked, are there other similar facilities that may be located within the county? And especially when we're up in Lincoln City, we had some discussions about the possibility that the tribe might do something in the area of the casino up there that would be something that might be similar to what we're doing in some aspects. It might be even potentially competition. So we need to have further discussions with the tribe about what they're planning to do out there, how we might collaborate or make sure we don't conflict with what's going on out there. But that's going to be an important consideration out there. We've also had a lot of discussion about possible other anchor tenants or other anchor uses on site here. What do you put on here that attracts people to this location? And there's some ideas that were discussed around that. So we also said, again, we have the smallest property in the state of Oregon for a fairgrounds. What additional properties might be available in the vicinity? What can we do to make some strategic acquisitions, and how would that be used? There was discussion about making this particular property the transit center for the county. Currently, everything kind of hubs around Highway 20 and 101, in terms of going north to Lincoln City, south to Yahats, east to Benton County, but put the transit center become part of that hub right there so that we have opportunities and options for people to come to events if we build something like this using public transit. In addition to public transit, you know, obviously if we have events that attract outside visitors, we want to talk about shuttle transit. Is there a possibility that we work with, for instance, properties that are outside the Newport area or inside the Newport area so that they could provide transportation to events that are held here from some of those locations? And how would that help with marketing of the facility? There was some idea discussed about satellite locations. You know, why does the fair have to be in one location? Could it not be you hold portions of the events in different locations and move it around? That was at least something that was brought. And then finally, importance of engaging other stakeholders, and especially and including the lodging industry, countywide with this concept. We need to make sure there's support locally from those kinds of stakeholders in whatever facility we do, and that they're not, in developing something like this, we're not competing with them and the things that they want to do. So that's the formal presentation, right? And I'd like to open it up. We do have, I want to just make sure that everybody knows that in the audience we have all three of the county commissioners here today. We have two of the three fair board members. We have members of the Town and Country Fair, which puts on our fair event. We have some staffers that do things here. So we've got a lot of people who are interested in the property itself, but there's also a lot of you who are from the general public, and they're the ones we want to hear from first and foremost. So we do have a sign-up sheet here, and we do ask that you put your name on there and your address so we can contact you, as well as for our records here, know who's come to the meeting and who's speaking. And then otherwise, Kim, do you want to look at the list here? And maybe we'll just start by going down the list, and then we're going to open it up. There's going to be ample opportunity for people to provide us input.
Daryl Clark.
Sure. Is it okay if I just stay seated?
Sure.
I guess the one thing, I was at the previous meeting that was held in Newport, and one of my, I took some notes today, and I took some notes this afternoon, so I have, you know, two basically main issues. My name's Daryl Clark, I live in South Beach, I'm a retired teacher, Mr. Baker knows who I am, I used to work for him. And my concern is that the last time that I was here, you talked about a seafood and wine festival being increased in this convention center, which would be another 15,000 square feet. So before I go on any farther, is that still a possibility?
I can tell you this. When we had those discussions before, we had talked with the folks in the chamber to say, is that, you know, the kind of a cutoff size? Did you need to have a minimum of 65,000? What we were under the impression is we could go down to something the size of 50,000, and that still might be viable. But what the chamber has basically come in and said is that at this point, they don't foresee the Seafood and Wine Festival being at this location in this kind of facility.
Okay. Well, but that could change.
Well, obviously, you know, right now they're not willing to make a commitment.
Okay. Well, that, I guess that just gives me, I guess the two reasons that I'm here is basically I'm a property owner and a tax. And so I pay my taxes, and I'm also a school teacher, so I was thinking today, the number one thing is that, you know, I would not, I was thinking two nights ago on a 50,000 square foot building, and I thought, you know, really how big is that? And I know I'm getting away from your 35,000, but I thought, how do I find out how really that big is? And so I went and I Googled it. I mean, I'm a sports advocate, and I know a football field's 100 feet long, I mean 100 yards long, but I didn't remember how wide it was. And so I Googled it, and a football field is 48,000 square feet. And so if we went to a 50,000 square foot, we're looking, I mean, we're looking 7 feet past the sidelines, north and south, or east and west, however foot. You're looking at a football field. Even at 35,000 feet, you're almost looking 10,000 square feet less than a football field. That's a huge building in for that area. So I really had a hard time, and I'll go ahead and say, I'm getting away from my notes, but that's okay. I really had a hard time with the idea of me being an ex-teacher in the Seafood and Wine Festival. I know the last meeting that we had, they said, you know, there would probably be not confrontation between activities at the Newport High School and the Seafood and Wine Festival, but there's no way in the world that not could happen. late in February. I know it's basketball season, state playoffs. Newport High School's holding, maybe they win first place, maybe they hold the first area playoffs, and now you got a seafood and wine festival, and you got young people leaving the game, mixing with the wine crowd. It doesn't make sense to me. So, you know, I have a hard time understanding why we're doing this, especially if that's the feasibility that they're still thinking about. And I'm paying for that as the next teacher. My taxes go up, and I'm paying for the mix of high school students and wine-bearing people. No, I'm going to vote that down in a minute, which probably I'm going to vote it down anyhow, because I don't understand what this has to do with me. And I won't go on forever, because I know I'm just going to hit on a couple things. You talked a little bit about the 4-H and the fair being the signature event. Okay. I guess I've pretty much stated the Seafood and Wine Festival. I don't have to go any farther than that. But I went to the fair this Sunday, the last Sunday of July. I hadn't been for 3 or 4 years. When I went to the last meeting that was held, I think it was held in City Hall or here, I don't remember which, and I stated my viewpoint. I know there were board members there. I know their spouses and friends become upset at what I had to say. That's okay. This is a public meeting. But when you say this is a signature event, you know, this last fair, I'd almost forgotten about the fair because there are no signs, no banners, no street notification that there is a Lincoln County Fair whatsoever. I was driving Sunday. I thought I'd go out and have breakfast, and so I went to have breakfast, and all of a sudden, you know, I saw one of those little metal signs strategically put behind a bush by a coffee shop. You could almost see it. So I thought, you know, maybe I will go to the fair and see what it's all about. Because a neighbor that lives in my area on Saturday said they went to the fair, and they came home Saturday evening, and they said they heard the greatest two guitarists that they've ever heard in the world. They were fantastic, but they felt so sad because they counted 12 people watching them. And so, this is not a signature event. So I went to the fair, seeing the sign, I remembered, okay, I had my breakfast and I went to the fair. I walked where all the food booths, there couldn't have been more than 2 or 3 food booths. There was just, along the fence, adjacent to Newport High School, there were no booths. They'd all left if they were there. Somebody said there were a couple more than what I had seen, but they'd left that Saturday night. They weren't going to stay because there's no advertising on the streets to get people to the fair. And they're losing money. I went into the fairgrounds, and I went, whoa. And I walked around, and and I saw a friend of mine. He had a booth. We talked a little bit. And then I went to another booth, and this nice lady, we talked for a while, and she was concerned, and I don't know how we got into the conversation, but I was expressing my viewpoint, just like I'm doing right now, and she says, can I take you on a tour? Because her business, she was really worried, because her business was out of Portland, and she'd be represented by a company out of Portland, and she was losing money, and she wasn't making any sales. And so she took me on a tour of the main building. And you're talking, this is a featured event? She took me on a main building, and she told me all the vendors that had left Saturday night or Sunday morning. There were, and what they had done at the fair is they had expanded the single booths of single people, and they had expanded them to the booths that had left to make it look a little bigger. And she was actually taking pictures to save her job. She was taking pictures of the main hall. She was taking pictures outside to show that the vendors had all gone so that she could report back to her employer and say, hey, this is my sales, and this is why, because they don't advertise on the streets, there's no banners, there's no signs, there's no letting people know that there is a fair going on. And I said, I feel really sad. And she says, well, we're not coming back. And she says she's talked to the other vendors and said they're not coming back. There was one person, I think their vendor cost was $400, and they hadn't made it in 2 days, so they left. They said, forget it. I can't even clear my vendor cost. And so to be a featured event doesn't work for me. And so to have my taxes raised for the Lincoln County, I feel sad for the 4-H because I think the 4-H is up and coming. They're trying, but I mean, when you a couple of years ago, all due respect, Mr. Hall, I talked with you and Izzy's. I don't know where you went.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. I talked with you at Izzy's in passing one time. I don't know if you remember.
I do.
And I said, "This, I'm a concerned citizen," and you were cordial and nice to stop. You'd already had your lunch. And, you know, I talked to you about this. And you said, "Well, I will bring it to the board and we'll see what we can do." And that was 2 years ago. And I'm sorry, and either you had a confrontation or the board didn't agree with you, but nothing happened. And so if this continues on, I don't see anybody implementing revenue for this convention center. And I think you've talked about that there is a deficit, that nobody else has ever made money except one, and they're connected to a hotel. And so I'm not sure what that means to me as a taxpayer and how I'm going to pay taxes to avoid that deficit and keep us ahead. I think that's how you presented it. And I'm just, right now, I'm saying no. Because of the fair, it's not a featured event. Last meeting, and then I'll be quiet, the last meeting, there was two people that said, one was a recreational director, and he said, "Well, you know, because the quilt show was held at the recreation hall, and he had a concern because it was tearing up his floor, and I taught PE for 32 years. And I could tell him automatically there are mats made specifically for gym floors. You just lay them out, and then the public can come in, and you can protect those." I'm 73 years old. I forgot the other thing I was going to say. But anyway, I want to thank you for the time.
Thanks.
And I'm just not I'm not up for paying taxes for something that the fair. I don't know what the fair needs, but as far as I'm concerned right now, I love fairs. I was raised on Lincoln County. I was raised on Los Angeles County fairs. And anyway, I'm sorry. I hope I haven't offended anybody. But thank you for your time.
John Ray.
I live next door to Daryl, so I'll try to keep it a little shorter. I moved here 11 years ago, and earlier I was here, I attended the fair, and it was a pretty decent event. And over the years, I had jobs that I was working usually Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 10 to 10. I didn't get to the fair for 7 years. I went this year again, and kudos to the fair board. The music you guys had there was awesome this year. I sat there Friday night and watched Curtis Salgado. What a performance. I hear that the Firefall the next night was equally as good. There weren't any people there to hear it. You know, there may have been 50 or 60 people sitting out in the cold watching Curtis play. You know, that was unfortunate because you guys put a great, you know, venue there. You know, I'm surprised how far it has declined. I went into the 4-H barn, there was one cow, two sheep, a couple goats, and a couple pigs, and some rabbits. That was it. You know, there was nothing there to bring people in. The following week, I took a trip up the Mackenzie River, and having been at this fair, I kind of was picking things up. Every community I went through, huge banners going across the roads. Lane County Fair this weekend, come on in. You know, Linn County Fair, come on in. Benton County Fair, everywhere, these huge banners. You have lost the fair crowd here in Lincoln County. And I don't know that you can ever get it back. And as Daryl was pointing out, if the fair is going to be your signature, it's already been lost here. You know, I was there Friday night, and there were 4 food carts outside. By Sunday, everybody was gone. When I was there Friday night, there was a huge reptile, and guy had gators and turtles and frogs and filled up probably a third of the event center. That was gone by Sunday afternoon. If we're using the fair as the cornerstone for this operation, it's not there. Whether you can get it back, I don't know. I wouldn't want to bet, $12 to $15 million on it coming back. Big concern there. Having, looked at enough business propositions in my life, I know that the first couple of years of any new business, and this would be a new business that you would be proposing here, you're saying, roughly we're going to lose probably for at least the first 3 years of any new business. You're not going to make, you're going to be really on the low end. So you're going to lose almost $200,000 a year on this adventure for the first 3 years. That's going to be, very tough thing to swallow until you get, the word of mouth out there and start getting people in. So if you're going to be making decisions, you're going to have to figure that, you're going to have over $500,000 that's going to come out of the county coffers to try to figure out how to keep, this thing going until hopefully it does take off. And I'm surprised to hear that the Chamber of Commerce didn't sign on. I thought that was, what I've been hearing and reading in the newspaper, that was the big thing that this was going to be for. Now that they're not there, that's scary. Thank you.
I forgot one thing, that 73-year-old moment, and that was just that the idea that last time I was here, and I apologize if I cut in front of anybody, that last time I was here, it was a statement made that fairs don't make money, so therefore that's why we need the revenue from the public. I would probably disagree this fair doesn't make money, but I would think the Tillamook Fair does. That is an incredible fair. When you go into Tillamook this year, banners, flyers, the really key thing that was seen was the idea that all the businesses in their marquee buildings, they all let people know it wasn't their business they were interested in. It was the fair, the Tillamook Fair. There's not one marquee in Lincoln County that I've seen that ever mentions the fair, much less the event calendar in the local newspaper. Sorry.
LaVon or Al Bussey?
I think I would just have to agree with what he said as far as the repayment situation. It's going to have to be a fantastic difference in the approach, because I don't think the public is going to handle that kind of thing.
I think at this time we should concentrate more on getting the fair back together again. Try a year or two and see if we can maybe figure out how the other fairs are being as successful and ours isn't, besides just the banners. There must be something there that we're not doing. We don't have enough of the animals coming in. People keep saying, well, where are the llamas? Where are the animals? Where are that we come to the fair for? We need to be able to get the fair going again before we decide to build an extra large building. Then that would probably be for our not right now.
See who's going to put exhibits in there.
Yeah.
Is there anybody left? Sounds to me like they all left, for sure.
Randy Gettman.
I'm Randy Gettman, and I'm here representing the Lincoln City Chamber of Commerce, and I'm also a past president of the Greater Newport Restaurant and Lodging Association. And my observations are that this is a very exciting concept to have for and a good vision for Lincoln County, especially for Newport. One question I think we have to resolve is, are people not coming to the events because it's an inadequate venue, or are they not coming because we don't have the right promotional package in place? I also think that if you are going to introduce a deficit generating idea to the voters, you're going to have to really craft that message carefully as it relates to the overall economic health of Lincoln County. I too was kind of surprised that the Newport Chamber didn't buy in all the way to this idea, but I think that even if they participate for the first 5 or 6 years, that's something that we can really look forward to in that.
So I want to open it up for anybody else. There's a lot of other folks here that have participated. So, Andy, could you identify your name for the record for us?
Sure. I'm Stan Rowe, and I'm a retiree. Have relatives here in Newport. I've been visiting about 40 years, living here about 8. I don't know any of these guys except Randy. And I got a question for Randy. But my first question, is it correct that the Seafood and Wine Festival is saying they're not going to try and locate at this location for their Seafood and Wine Festival?
What they have said is they're not willing to make a long-term commitment to this location. We had hoped that they might partner with us, and if we could see a revenue stream coming in, that would be something that we could use in terms of operations or capital or whatever it might be. But I think that their indication is they're not willing to make a long-term. Doesn't mean they wouldn't have other types of events or promote other kinds of use of the facility if it was built there, but they don't see this as the location of the Seafood and Wine Festival in the near future.
That's some of the best news I've heard. Okay. I think it would be very disruptive to that neighborhood to come in with the traffic and the parking required for that Seafood and Wine Festival, let alone that the building's not going to be big enough for the current square foot that festival's requiring. That's the best news that I've heard, that they're not going to try and come in there. Now, also what I've heard is that there's a proposed $12 million to build this project, and if the city of Newport somehow, sometime, comes up with $3 million, that still leaves $9 million that has to be raised probably by bond.
There is a revenue source already. There's $1.2 million that for fair or similar kinds
coming
of facilities.
Coming in annually?
No, that's what's in there right now. That's the
amount
that's been
raised. Built up.
And then the annual amount that comes into this fund is about $250,000 a year. And if you did revenue bonds, the estimate is that might raise somewhere between $3.9 and $4.3 million more.
And you're the one that has said additional for operational maintenance. So much of this money might be required for that additional operational maintenance. And in addition, it was being an addition to the deficit operation listed in the master plan of $46,000 to
$125,000. Yes.
Where is this coming from? These grants, these donors? Have we got any letters of support from any possible grantees? Have any possible donors come forward saying we're going to donate to this?
We haven't gotten far enough to proceed on this thing to actually do that.
I
no, that's a good question.
Well.
Now, what we wanted to do was throw the numbers out here. It's just the idea that...
If I might finish.
Sure.
I went to the county fair this year. It was the best $5 I ever spent. Thanks to those that put on the county fair.
Anybody else?
Joe Burrell. I've been in Newport 2 years. Point of clarification, how did we get down this particular path of conversation? Do we not have the fairgrounds at the pleasure of the family who donated the land?
No.
That was removed. That deed restriction was removed by the city a long time ago.
Yeah.
So that's still not tied to having to have a fair there every year?
No.
Or the access for the 4-H?
No. But our intent, the intent that came from the Blue Ribbon Committee, from the board and the fair board right now, is to include the fair in the 4-H in these discussions. That's why that's part of the discussion.
Then it seems that you should also make that not just inclusive, but inviting to Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, etc., all of the groups that perhaps be...
That's part of the questions you were asking, in terms of the facilities, whatever's built there. Let's say this is this goes or doesn't go, whatever's out there, how do we support, how do we bring in support for all kinds of groups to utilize this? That was part of the visioning process we talked about.
Then Seafood Line saying they would long-term commit, in my mind, it's like, well, are they thinking about building a building? Who else in the area is thinking about building such a building?
I'll try to answer the Seafood Line Festival question. I'm Commissioner Doug Hunt. I'm also treasurer of the Newport Chamber of Commerce. The short answer is, I think a couple of people have spoken about the issues with the environment, the local community, and local neighborhoods. The chamber is not going to have a Seafood Line Festival at that location because of those concerns.
So it's an environmental nod that they're planning on building a building.
I can't speak about that, but... if the chamber doesn't have the Seafood and Wine Festival at the fairgrounds location, they'll have it somewhere else, and they may build their own building.
Thank you.
I guess I'll put my
Just a little clarification. I don't know everything that happens at the fairgrounds, but from what I've seen, you have the the fairgrounds open during the winter time on Saturdays for the the winter farmers market. Mm-hmm. You use it for 4 days a year for the county fair. You have it open two or three days a year for the Celtic Festival, and it's used as a warming shelter during the cold months of the winter. Does that pretty much encompass what...
No, there's some other things. The sportsman show was done this year. There's a variety of other events that occur on parks of the grounds. There's different events.
And the big 4-H has something like 120 meetings or events during the year on the grounds. Some of them, very small club groups, but so they're a pretty frequent user. They've started doing, just this year, small animal show there. They're trying to expand their presence. What else? There's been the
number of private users. The Rocky Mountain Foundation holds their annual banquet out there.
Would it be fair to say that the decline of the fair is directly attributed to the decline of the facility?
If I was hazarding a guess and say, was that part of the issue? Absolutely.
Societal change.
But I'm not saying that's the only reason, but definitely.
We just did a finished economic development study. Agriculture is 0.2%. You're the smallest agriculture, that's farm gate agriculture, in the state. There's less and less cattle here. The types of things you go to a fair aren't here, but yet doesn't mean agriculture dead. They actually increased by one of the largest rates of almost 35%, but it's coming in vegetables and things like are going to farmers markets. It's a different type of thing. The county's changing from what it was 30 years ago.
We have agriculture, but it's seed type of thing.
If you talk agriculture, then we're looking at 10% of our economy. And this year, we got almost, I'm going to guess, a 25% increase in that economy around the ocean. Yeah. So I mean, we're agriculture. We're big time. We're about 12th or 14th in the state. Right. But it's all coming from the maritime industry, not from farm people. But it's changing. That farm gate agriculture is changing. And I don't have a complete study of it, but it's obvious that these farmer market, these vegetable growers, the fruit growers and stuff, have found a place.
What's exciting is what Wayne said about entrepreneurial. If you like that space, and that space works for a lot of different things, we've already got a good start on many things happening there. That's the exciting part for me. A lot of things can happen there that we'll like, and somebody else said, but how is it advertised? How is it promoted? I think Randy said it. And that's going to be a big challenge.
I guess to piggyback on what Mr. Perry Johnson was talking about in and the gentleman from Lincoln City Chamber of Commerce. And I think the question was, if I'm not correct, was the idea that what is causing the problem is the venue? Is it the venue at the fair, or is it the advertising that's getting out to the community? Well, I would think the venue would be directly represented by the advertisement out in the community, because once the people are not coming in, the venue tends to not repeat itself. It doesn't want to come back. The vendors do not want to come back. This is a tourist town. Most people that come to the fair are local people that haven't given up on it. And, you know, and that $5 and that was a good time for you, that's great. But you have 100,000 people driving Highway 101 all the time. That's the problem. They don't know there's a fair. There's a grain site by Lumberman, by ProBuild, that says there's a fairground. But there's nothing says that there's a fair now. They're coming from Corvallis, Highway 20. There's nothing there that says there's a fair now. There are the little signs where it says, welcome to Newport. But, I mean, you can just go buy those in a second. Even if they put it on the radio, people don't listen to radios anymore. It's CDs and iPhones. You know, it's just, even if it's in the newspaper, people don't pick up newspapers when they come into town. And they're either flying through or going to the hotel or motel or whatever they're going to do, or going down to the bayfront. But if they don't know there's a fair, we're missing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that visit us every day that do not know there's a fair. So therefore, the venue will dissipate, and it won't come back because they can't afford to come. And along with Terry Thompson's, its remark is great because it is a different time. I mean, where's displays by the logging industry? Where's displays by the fishing industry? Where's displays by things that are happening now? They could fill that arena. There's enough of that going on. But we're not taking that, you know. And we're bringing in outdoor venues, and they don't want to make the trip because nobody's showing up to the fair. And why don't we celebrate our own community? They don't have so far to go. And let's show everybody what Newport's about. But we've got to get them into the arena. And we're not doing that.
Bill?
Could I offer a few perspectives? And I want to stick up for the Town and Country Fair Committee, because these folks, I mean, if they hadn't stepped forward 6 years ago, the fair would have died then. Because the previous fair board, you know, essentially, well, gave the Board of Commissioners an ultimatum on a maintenance plan they wanted us to implement. When we refused to do that, we said, sorry, you know, as a public body, we can't deal in ultimatums. They walked off, and we were not going to have a fair 6 years ago. And, you know, again, this has been hard to listen to tonight, but in a way it's good because it helps reinforce for us. We've got a very challenging public outreach and public selling campaign ahead of us if we are going to get anything approved. That it reinforces, I think, once you're in a downward spiral, it is very hard to reverse it. That we got to that point because, like fairs, I think around the county, I travel a lot around the state, interact with commissioners from other counties, and, you know, there are fairs like Tillamook's or Douglas counties that are absolutely thriving, but a lot of them in trouble, like Wayne talked about, Multnomah County, which doesn't even have a permanent home anymore. Washington County commissioners got beat up in public a few years ago, metaphorically, because they tried to get a fair measure passed that wouldn't pass, so they tore down multiple buildings on their fairgrounds that were falling apart. And, you know, it's hard when you don't have much in the bank, much to go with in the way of resources. But again, I've got to, I think, also then go back and reemphasize what Wayne has said. This, to make this viable, I mean, if we were just talking about a project to host the fair 3 days a year, as much as I love the fair personally, I think economically and in terms of use of public resources, it would not be justified. But I think if we can coalesce around a plan, and maybe people will, maybe they won't, if you read this 70-page study, it points out that with the minimal maintenance we've done, the last few years, and with really zero marketing, that despite that, the use of the grounds has grown steadily these last few years. But they say, you know, given the things that are happening in the area, that in terms of events, potential convention business, that they see a lot of potential for this. And but even if it is up and thriving at some point, you know, the thing people do need to understand as well is that these facilities usually do, almost invariably do, require some kind of public subsidy, whether it's from a property tax measure, another room tax measure, some other source. I talked to folks in the city of Seaside where their convention center is one of the best used facilities of its type along the coast. I think the gentleman I talked to there said it's in use all but 15 to 20 days a year, but they still have an ongoing room tax subsidy to pay for the operation. But that community has made the decision that that's a worthwhile investment because it brings in the level of additional business to the community that it does. So, just a few thoughts based on the feedback we've had so far.
I was wondering if there's any attempt or any contact with the emergency management agency as far as grants or
we've looked at some preliminary things. We've, again, one of the concepts in the overall master plan would be to locate an emergency communication center.
In case of an emergency, the Seafood and Wine Festival is gone and all that's left is NOAA.
Yeah, that's, you know, this is a location that's outside of the tsunami zone. It's on fairly flat and good ground. At least parts of it are. There's some fill on the site. We know that. There's some limitations on the site.
Okay. Cable from three sites.
That's one of the activities we're looking at for the property itself, yes.
We need to talk to our senators.
We're going to talk to a lot of people.
I have talked to White about it.
Yes.
I've talked to one of the guys that I work with on Wave Energy, who's ex-Navy man, who's way up there in emergency management. And I took him for a tour over there. He liked it because it's got a football field big enough you can land helicopters on. That's one of the first things they look at. It's a lighted so they can land nighttime on it. They got electricity. There's all kinds of advantages to that location for emergency service.
Plus, we've got gen sets so we can generate electricity right at the public works building as well as the
fuel.
We've got the old depot.
Well, maybe to bring us around a little bit, actually, this was a great, in a sense of what I heard at least sitting up here from my end of it. And I'm not a decision maker. I want to make that clear. I don't make any decisions on this stuff. I'm trying to help the decision makers look at the financial feasibility and the desire of the community to do this. But it was pretty interesting to hear here what we've kind of heard in other presentations too, that there's a lot of different visions here of what should be both a fair as an event, the facilities, the grounds, what they should do, how they might be supported. That there's as many visions as there are people in the room out here. So bringing this together as a common vision, something that people can support, get behind and support, is really the job for the decision makers here. That's not going to be an easy task to do that. So this is, part of the public outreach we're going to do, and there's going to be significantly more outreach to do that. So we really do appreciate, and I want to thank everybody who came here tonight to provide input for doing so. We need that. And I'm going to stop with one last comment, if I can, and the chair of the fair board's back there. He'd like to at least
I just want to say that I came to this whole volunteer experience without knowing very much about the fair. What I've observed today is I'm going to use a forest for the trees analogy. I think all the discussion has been about the trees, not the forest, the vision, what it can be. If you take the time to look at the Oregon Revised Statutes, they pretty much tell the state of Oregon that all counties will have fairs. There is money that flows with those statutes, and they are not specific about what is the definition of a county fair. They use words like industrial, entertainment, showcasing, and dances. There is no limitation. They even actually talk about them as parks. their county parks. 4-H is a very small manifestation of the population of children in Lincoln County. For us to be able to say that we are a destination for the children of Lincoln County and for the children of Oregon, I think it's possible, and I don't think it's expensive. I have a number of examples, and anybody here can just go onto Google Images and see thousands of images about grandchildren's playgrounds. I think that the county doesn't have anything like a city, okay, like a recreation center, a swimming pool, a senior center, a library. It could. It could have a county commons. It could have a public county community meeting place. It could have a children's activity center. And for the lodging properties, if you know Newport very well, the largest gathering you can have is about 250 people. So if Newport is presented with a large opportunity, they have to turn it back. It doesn't mean Lincoln City is any better positioned than Newport is. But remember one of the things that Wayne said, and that is we must resist being Newport-centric. This is about all of the county. What are we going to do to make people in Yahas and Rose Lodge and Otis feel like this is an exciting place? And it's that kind of vision that I hope that we can work our way towards, so that instead of focusing on the tree, the three-day event, let's focus on the 365 days of the year and the potential that Lincoln County has for creating a vision about a commons that could serve the entire county. And because we're no longer the agricultural center does not mean we're not the next Woods Hole of the United States. And what can we do about that fact that we're becoming so much more marine-oriented and celebrating our fishing industry and celebrating all the other things that go on in this county? So just wanted to share my thoughts as the chair of the fair board and what I've observed over the last couple of weeks, and appreciate the fact that I now have a lot more thinking to do.
Well, thank you all for coming. Really appreciate it.